Time for another episode of Beyond the Boundary, GDFL, GFNL, BFNL, a look at what's happening in the world of local football. There might be a little bit of netball talk involved in this, Jason Doherty, because you've been on the bandwagon of some funding for a club close to your heart, and looks like it's come their way.
Finally. Hey, hello. How are you, Captain?
I'm very well, co-pilot.
Yes, no, very good. Finally, they won't have to train in the car park. It's amazing.
$650,000.
Asphalt and concrete can't be that expensive, can it? Like, really?
Faz is doing all right out of it.
Mine host, Simon Farrell. No, it's good. I know they've been lobbying for a long time for it, and they've got the space, which is sometimes a problem too.
So where are they going with the second court?
I think they're going in the car park. I actually think they're going next door to where the actual netball court is currently.
Right.
They use the car park pretty much as a warm-up area for
that. But that used to be the original court, wasn't
it? That was the original court, and then they built the court, and then they're going back. So I think that's the plan. It's right next to the rooms. It's good. My girls who play there are very happy.
Still not as good as the fact you can still see the lines for the netball court in the car park at Keith Barclay Oval when you walk into the front entrance.
Yes, you can.
Remember they used to play netball at the front entrance?
They did. Many years ago before they built theirs. Yes, that was in the infant stages of netball in the Geelong and District Football and Netball League. But yes, no, very, very happy, I think, the club. Well done to them.
$1.7 million for Bell Park for their female-friendly facility. So good. They win and Newtown wins and everybody's happy.
Everybody's a winner. We like that. No, and all the clubs. I mean, I think we've spoken about this before, that all the clubs need some assistance with that, with the expansion of women's football. So it's great.
$500,000 for North Shore for infrastructure upgrades out there as well.
Trees on the other side, maybe? Trees around us? It's pretty windy out there. No, that's good for them too.
Have we been to North Shore? We haven't been to North Shore this year, have we?
Not yet.
No. I don't know whether we're going.
Very good.
Yeah.
No.
We're going to see North Shore in a couple of weeks.
The ground is amazing out there.
Yeah.
The ground is, it's the best, the surface is amazing. So,
well, it doesn't have a lot of traffic.
No, that's true. No, that's true.
It's not drought-tolerant grass.
Mm.
And there's no hard, there's no,
no turf table. No, that's right. Yeah. No, it's good. Good. We're seeing them, against Lara, aren't we?
Yes, a couple of weeks.
The Paddy Carr.
Paddy Carr Cup.
Mm.
Yep. We believe that West Oval is going to host all the finals, bar the grand final.
That's good. Yeah, yep. That's good.
So everything.
It's a good
to
ground
premium.
To watch footy at. It's a good ground to commentate footy at.
Correct.
And I think it's a good ground to play footy at. So I think everybody will be happy.
Ron Watt likes West. He was talking about how it's easy to get from contest to contest, which was interesting. Well, he would know, having played a lot of footy there.
Yeah. It's I think it's the ground itself has very much improved since previous years, where I can remember sometime it was very boggy in the middle, but I think they look after it very well these days.
Yep. Remember when they were throwing sand on it and players were getting injured?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
The game wasn't great on Sunday.
No, it wasn't. No, it was didn't reach any great heights, but St. Joey's going well.
And one to come.
And
Cam Tudor.
One to come.
Yep.
Yes, who's been poking his head around by the looks of it at everything, including coaching.
Yes. Well, and he was
helping out.
And he was at the hamburger tent.
Yes, he was. Yes, I saw him give you a wave in the comm box.
Yes. He'll be very handy. I was talking to a senior Joey's player today, and he said just that experience might prove handy come September.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you look at their team on the weekend missing, obviously the Buklovic and, Jack Leonard and a couple of others. Joel O'Dwyer, Oscar Morrison as well. You put Cam Tudor back in. Wow-wee.
Good luck squeezing. Who's getting squeezed out?
I don't know. Which is, I think Ron said, a good problem to have, but it's going to be tight.
Ozzie Humphrey might be one that would possibly get squeezed out of the forward line.
Oh, I don't know. Like,
he doesn't get big numbers, but he works hard.
He wins games of footy for him.
Yep. Jake Kerwood, like, is he sort of last in, first out?
No, like, it's going to be. Well, I mean, as we said, it's a good problem to have, and they're going to training's going to be interesting. I tell you,
won't be Josh Nunatis.
No,
Ron Watt is a big Josh Nunatis.
I think
fan.
Most of the St. Joey's footy clubbies aren't they? Yeah, like, yeah. Well, yes.
For a bloke who's played a handful of games,
he just gives them something different, I think, which is the thing.
The other bloke's Ben Kamerick seems to just can't get his body right. Yeah. But if he was too as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're going that the depth thing, which I think we spoke about last year, which they sort of ran out of petrol tickets, and they are a lot fitter and stronger, and they've got a couple of extras as well.
Tudor might play in the reserves this week.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little handy addition, isn't it, in the Scoobs?
Feel sorry for whoever a key defender is this weekend.
Who are they playing this weekend?
Colac.
Oh, wow.
Down there.
Yeah, right.
What else are we, else news-wise? Jared Love, a reprimand. They're in a bit of trouble. There's more injuries.
Oh,
and
really?
To see key players out there. Poodle Wilson, Manganelli.
Wow.
Filet.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Well, they're in a bit of trouble.
So there are some... unwanted bit of history for them coming. Who was the last team to win a flag and miss the finals in the GD?
Belmont.
Yep.
2007-08.
Yep.
It's not good.
So that unwanted piece of history, I think. And do you know what? It might be on them as soon as this week. I know they'll math it. You never want to be mathematically achieved.
No, you're in trouble when you're mathematically.
Yeah. But results go against them this weekend and they can't tip over Belmont Lions. The big question is, I want to go back and find out the last time Belmont Lions beat Inverleigh twice in a season.
Oh.
Probably 2007.
Yeah, probably. If they played them twice that year. Yeah.
And that was the drought year, so they may not have.
Could have been Lee Districts.
Potentially was.
Good afternoon, Tassie. Yeah. You'll be listening.
You might have to go back to sort of 92.
Yeah, 93. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
And they won the flag.
That's right.
Talking about players on the return, Jake Watson-Searles just put together a body of work in the East Geelong reserves, and don't be surprised if he bobs up.
Handy addition.
Very soon into their forward line.
Yeah.
And they've got a couple to come back. I think Jaden Fanning didn't play on the weekend. No. Sam King didn't play on the weekend.
Going nicely, the Eagles.
How did they lose to Bell Postal in round one?
No idea.
There needs to be some sort of royal commission into that.
No idea.
And that's nothing against Bell Post Hill.
No, it's one of those things, isn't it? But, yeah, they'll look back and go, how did that happen?
Yeah. Will it cost them a championship?
Well, it does. Yeah, it does. That's right, yes.
But
they've got to win it first.
I think they win it, don't they?
There's a couple of teams that probably think that they can, but I reckon their odds on, they've got it. Their back line is pretty strong.
Thompson will be the team that might be the one that'll give trouble coming out of an elimination final.
Well, I mean, it's the scenario of they'll have nothing to lose.
Yep.
So they'll just, they'll just fly at it and go.
No depth.
No. So they're going to have to stay as healthy as they can.
Yep. Yeah. And that Jacob Knight came with huge raps. Paul Lynch wanted it kept quiet that he was in town and... He's gone and kicked six on the weekend.
Another little lynchy morsel.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yep. So all of a sudden they're... I wouldn't sleep on Thompson. They're just... They've got to keep everybody on the park.
That's it. They've got to have their best 22 ready to go.
You lose a Saligan or a Boyd or a Smets.
Yeah.
You're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Torquay, you're going to be tough to top, aren't they?
They are. Very well. Well and truly. Although there's one club that I think is angling for them to break that, and also for next year as well.
Yep.
There's a club that's going to have a couple of new recruits, I think, the week after the end of this season.
Okay. Which club?
Geelong Amateur.
Yep.
Yeah. They're going to have a couple of handy signings.
Really?
Yes.
They've already made two mid-season ones.
They have. So they'll topping up again.
So they'll get Hillier down a point next year.
Yes.
Brownless already arrives as well. I'm talking about... Brownless. Oscar's going to join us.
Perfect.
A little bit later.
Yes, very good. That's good.
Brendan Forsman's going to join us.
Nice.
And we're also going to have a chat with Will Sexton, who is out of COVID protocols.
Well, that's good to know.
After missing last week.
Yes. Wretched run.
They got bullied last week, South, didn't they?
Yeah, they did a bit. Yeah, yeah. No, that coach wasn't happy, I don't think.
Mulroney, White, Boris.
Yeah, they had a couple of out.
Sexton out.
Yeah.
But would they make up the eight goals there?
Look, I haven't ever given the kudos I need to Taylor Mulroney, I think, in the middle. Yeah. I think they really need him. Like, I think Doyle Madigan did a lot of hard work last week, which the grub would normally do.
Paddy Kelly did a bit of hard
work. He did.
Paddy Kelly was actually pretty good.
Absolutely. But I just you don't notice them as much until they're not there and they need him back, I think. Yeah.
So we've got plenty to talk about. Big show. Brendan Forsman, Will Sexton to join us. Oscar Brownless as well. Anything else across your desk from out of the weekend? Oh, actually, it was good to chat with Rowan McSparran on Sunday.
Mm.
Pre-game before Western St. Joey's, just about how the Hillman-Garner combination is going to work. So that was the first senior game of the year for Luke Hillman.
Mm.
Kicks eight.
Yeah, they kick eight each. Yeah, Garner, that's pretty good. One up, one back.
Who's missing? Who's going to be the team out of the six in contention right now? Who's on the outside looking in?
To be honest with you, I haven't done the draw as much as you would have looked at it, but it's going to be extremely tight depending on who they play each other. I mean, those 8-point games are going to be massive.
Yep.
Who plays who, Tom? You would have looked at
it. No, I haven't looked in. I probably will in the break.
Yeah.
So what are we at? Coming up to round 11, the last seven games are going to be crucial. And percentage is actually going to be crucial. Yeah. Not for St Mary's at 300.
But it's interesting because the team's on 28, 28 and 24. So Leopold on 28, 164.
Yep.
Colac 28, 161. South Barwon 24, 160.
Yep.
So they're all pretty much the same.
What's Bell Park on 32?
Bell Park's on 32, 128.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So whether that comes back to hurt them,
depending on how they go winning-wise. Yeah.
Because that loss to Leopold, to St Joey's by what, best part of 90 points might be one that that hurts. So, it's going to be it's disappointing. I think we're down to six.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But
thanks, Grovedale, for ruining that for us.
I'm sure Spoldo will be happy about that.
Really appreciate that, Spoldo.
Yeah, good on you, mate. No. Well done.
Mitch Chafer was massive.
Yeah, I heard he cut one. He was on fire. That's good.
The goal he kicked late to put them in front was of the highest quality. And that's why he's on a VFL list.
Well, I was going to say, you want quality players like that to come back from a VFL and play really well, and that's what he did, obviously, which is good.
So hopefully we'll get confirmation of the GFNL finals and the Bellarine finals. We suspect we'll be at Port Arlington for the first 2 weeks of the Bellarine.
Traditional.
And then where the grand final is, Leopold keeps getting floated. Newcombe, I know, are keen. So I suspect it might be down to those two for who hosts. I've spoken to some people about Leopold. Some people are a bit like, oh, what about the parking? And just park over on the spare paddock and just walk through the car park. It's only a 5-minute walk.
Isn't that what 10,000 people did last year?
Correct.
The GFNL grand final?
Yep.
Yeah. I think sometimes we overthink this.
Yep.
It's a footy ground. You can stand there and watch footy and park anywhere.
Yep.
Like, let's not overthink this.
It's Love Talking Sport with our next guest here on Beyond the Boundary. Doesn't matter what sport it is, because he's actually pretty good at a lot of them, but he's not a bad footy coach either down at Winchelsea, but cricket, golf, and a little bit of motorsport as well for Brendan Forsman makes you just absolutely hate him because he's so good at everything.
Sporting raconteur.
Yeah, can't not like him, and he's a good fella to boot as well. He's been coaching the Blues this year. A late addition to the Winchelsea coaching staff as he comes back for a second stint. Foss, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary.
Thanks for having me, lad. Pleasure.
All right, now break it down for us. How many games have you coached? Where have you been, and what's next for the remaining seven games of the season for you at the Blues?
So this year, Tom, I've missed four games already. A lovely wife and I went over to Europe, which was already planned ahead of the start of the year. And then I've got a couple of weeks coming up where I'll miss as well with some motor racing commitments that were already in the pipeline.
All right.
So I think overall I coach about 12 of the 18 games.
All right. And this is it. There is no intention that 2025 that you will be coaching the Winchelsea Football Club. I understand that the search might even be begun for who takes on the role next year.
Yeah, that's right, Kingy. Dogs, the president, and I have already started getting a shortlist together for next year's coach, and we've interviewed one person already, our first interview, which has been nice. So we've had some guys who have reached out to us before it's even been advertised. So, so that looks pretty promising for next year.
All right. What are you looking for specifically, Foss, to replace you? Is it a playing, non-playing, co? What, are you open to anything?
Yeah, we are pretty open to anything, Kingy. I think a playing coach is hard work. If a playing coach was to put his hand up, he would probably have to have all his on-field stuff sorted as well, as far as match day coach and things like that on the bench. We're pretty open to anything, Kingy. Like I said, we're happy to talk to anyone who's interested. So, if you're interested in a change of clubs, or if you're a first-time potential senior coach that is looking for an opportunity, we think we've got a really strong list going forward. So, we think we're in a good position for whoever takes over.
Yeah, as you said, Forge, you missed a few. So who has been filling the void while you've been off, gallivanting around the world?
Well, funny you say that. My oldest son, Hayden, coaches the reserves.
Yep.
So he stepped up a little bit in my absence with the senior leadership group. And the minute I got back, they threw the keys at me and just said, "You can have it. It's too hard."
I think
we might find an aspiring senior coach out of, you know, the four or five guys that were helping out, but apparently not.
And I think that's the thing. I think some people would suspect that, you know, I've played the game, or I've watched the game a lot, or I've done a bit of junior coaching or something like that. It's an interesting role to have as the senior coach of a football club, regardless of what level it is. And we've spoken to many on Beyond the Boundary around, you know, the time it takes to do it. It's a pretty thankless task sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's thankless. Yeah, but there's a lot of time involved. If you're doing it properly, you're really committed. And you know, it's a part time job. It's another 20 to 30 hours a week on top of what you're already doing. If you're doing it properly. And, you know, you've got 60 guys on the list that you're trying to get around to, you know, as much as you can as well, and make sure they're all going okay, and as well as all the off-field stuff and at committee level and things like that. But like I said, for those who are into it, and I have been for quite some time, it's very rewarding as well.
Four losses by 11 points or less, five by 16 or less. Foss, has it been a big question of what could have been so far for your boys?
Oh, absolutely, King. Yeah, like I said before, we think our list is pretty healthy and certainly decent to compete with any other club in the GD. But, yeah, early on in the season, we played some good footy and just weren't able to get over the line. And in the last few weeks, we've just probably tried a few things out at training and in the last couple of weeks on game days, and maybe to help us just, you know, get over the line in those pressure tight situations in last quarters. But a lot of it just comes back to, you know, as most local footy coaches will say, it'll be a 5 or 10 minute period where we get three or four goals kicked against us, and our first quarters have been pretty poor for most of the year, so we've looked to address that as well. But yeah, we're certainly not far away from any of the teams in the competition.
Percentage of 118 is actually the fourth best in the comp. Does that give you some hope that if you were to make a late charge and there's not a lot of room for error, you may have to go through unbeaten or 6-1 at worst, that you could snatch fifth spot?
Look, we haven't looked that far ahead, Kingy, but by all means, we haven't given up on the season. We know that we've got to play some. I think we play six of the last seven games, we play teams above us on the ladder. So, it's up. We're up against it. But in saying that, we're looking forward to the challenge each week as well, because we think our best is good enough. So, but again, on the day, if you don't bring your best, then you're likely to be beaten. That's how close our competition is at the moment.
I was just going to say that to you. I don't think you've been around the league a long time now. The evenness of the competition this season is unbelievable, like in terms of bottom can beat top pretty easily on any given week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, I think our competition's the most even in the Geelong region. You know, I know that Bell Post still are struggling at this point in time this year, but, you know, they've been a powerhouse. But even on their day, like we saw early in the year, that they beat East Geelong in round one, and East Geelong haven't lost a game since then. So, yeah, like you said, if you don't bring your A game, then you can certainly get upset, that's for sure.
We know you were a very handy bat cricket-wise. We know you've hit a golf ball very, very well, good enough to win a club championship down at Curlewis. But you've turned your hand to motorsport. Can you talk us through what you're involved in and what it's where it sits for you at the moment, Foss?
I've got back into it, Kingy. My dad used to race, so he established the Forsman Motorsport in 1981, so a long time ago. So we race off-road racing. So I'm sure most of you have probably heard of the Fink Desert Race.
Yep.
So that's the sort of stuff that we do. So I've got a buggy, and my brother's got a trophy truck, and my other cousin has a buggy, and his son races as well. And, you know, there's four or five cars in our family group. And when we go away, there's, you know, 20 to 25 people that go away for good long weekends, and we have a ball. So if we get a good result in the race, that's a bonus. But we still enjoy it anyway.
Talk to us about the dangers of driving those things. You've probably got to have a certain amount of wits about you to drive those buggies.
Well, mine's only good for about 150 to 160 k's an hour. So mine's one of the slower ones. Everything's got to be certified as well. Like to CAM specifications, like all roll cages and things like that, and even our safety equipment is the same as what a Formula One guy would wear. So as far as the safety aspects go, you know, you've got to tick everything off that needs to be ticked off, and our, you know, the fire suppressant things and all that sort of stuff as well. Yeah, some of the big boys, you know, get up to speeds of over 210, 220 k's an hour, but yeah, I'm certainly not that keen to go that fast. So yeah, there is some danger to it, but I mean, there's some danger to playing footy as well. So yeah, I try not to think about it too much, Tom.
Sounds like you should buy a set of golf clubs or a cricket bat, much more less expensive than doing that type of sport, I would have thought.
That's and I think Joanne would agree with
you. Sure she would too.
So where's your next race, Foss? Where are we off to?
Actually heading to Hilston next weekend in mid-New South Wales. So yep. We travel a bit we race in the ARB Australian Off-Road Championship. So the first round was in Rainbow, and I was fortunate enough to win my class in that event. So round two in Hilston next week. And then in August, we go to Gundawindi in Queensland.
Yep.
And then in September, we go to Millicent in South Australia. So and each race is generally around 400 to 500 kilometres in length.
Yeah, wow.
Wow, way.
Yeah.
That's
So at Hilston next week, we'll do five laps of an 80-kilometre track.
Jeez.
So it's on big farm properties and things like that, in outback Australia.
It's cool. So, it's just a whole different scenario, isn't it? Like, yeah, how many people do
anyone,
it?
For anyone who's remotely interested, you can jump onto Forza and Motorsport on YouTube, and there's some footage there from in my buggy, and we chuck a couple of GoPro cameras in.
Oh wow!
And
oh,
also wow. From my brother's race truck as well. So. Just jump onto Forza and Motorsport and away you go.
How many competitors sort of do it? What's the range in terms of, you know, numbers that get to an event?
So the ARB series will generally have around 60 cars in each race. And there's lots of different classes as well. So depending on engine size and all that sort of stuff, there's different configurations. So it's a bit of an unknown sort of, not a well-known sport, but for those who do it, yeah, we certainly love it.
Mm. Now, one of our favourites here at K-Rock Footy is Del Palmer at Team Taipower. Del's involved with your team as well, isn't
he? Absolutely. Yeah, Del's a ripper. he's my brother's navigator.
Yeah, right.
And, so him and Jason are best mates, my brother. But Jason gave Del a drive of his truck not that long ago and ended up on its roof.
Oh, oh no!
I'm guessing Del's okay.
Everyone was okay, but yeah, next time you talk to Del, just maybe you can mention that to him.
We
certainly mention it every time we see him. We still bring it up.
I'm due for a wheel alignment on my tyres, so I reckon I might book. You've just reminded me to book that in, and I might just subtly mention. How are you going driving your car on a roof? See how you go. Now, Foss, have you tuned into Beyond the Boundary before? Have you, obviously not while you're driving your little buggy, but do you have it on in the truck while you're driving around town during the week?
Yeah, occasionally, Tom. I'm in and out all the time, as you know. I'm a courier, so I'm sort of 5 minutes in the van and 5 minutes out. But I have a bit of a listen along.
All right. Do you know we do a little player profile and we can sort of throw it back to the 80s with some questions?
Yeah, go on then.
All right. Here we go. Full name?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brendan Anthony.
Brendan Anthony Forsman. Baff.
Baff. Yep. Good on you, Baff.
So Winchelsea have Baff and Bav, Port of Arles.
Yeah, don't put me in that same category.
date of birth and where?
5th of the 12th, 71 in Geelong Hospital.
Baxter House.
Born and bred, Baxter House.
Well done. Good boy.
You're right. So I thought we were friends.
No.
Height?
I'm going to say about 178, 5'10 or whatever that is.
5'10, yep. Footy-wise, where did you play your junior footy?
At Barwon.
Barwon.
Hence, and then, so Barwon for winter and then ATs for summer? Is that how it worked out?
Yep. Pretty much, mate. The same ground all year round. Yeah. Mm. So, played Barwon, but when they merged with Belmont to become South Barwon, I had a couple of years at Geelong Amateurs under Peter Murray.
Right.
And then I ended up at Grovedale when Mitch Schultz was coaching up there. Yep. And that's and I'd met Joe, my wife, who's mum and dad, Pam and Jeff Ingalls, are both life members at the Grafdale Footy Club as well. So, so that was my... But I retired early due to hamstring and ankle injuries, and we had Hayden when we were pretty young, so I couldn't afford to be injured and off work.
Yeah, that's fair. Occupation, you touched on your career. Just pump up who you work for.
I'm a subcontractor for Team Global Express. So we used to be Toll Transports, and now we're Team Global Express, and love working there. Love the job that I do, mate. Yeah, been doing it for nearly 30 years. So.
Yeah, wow. Schools attended?
Belmont Primary School.
Yep.
And Geelong Tech, which is obviously no longer where Clairvaux College is.
Which became South. We talked about South Barham Secondary College.
Yes.
Yes.
The old Geelong Tech. What car do you drive? A buggy.
Well, I basically just drive my work van, a Renault Master.
Nice. I'm looking forward to this. This is the one where this is going to be a lot of fun. Sports played other than footy.
Oh, here we go.
Righto. No, I've played pretty much everything. If you want to name it, I've played it. I even played a bit of cornhole.
Oh, we throw the bag into the... Oh, ESPN had that going during COVID.
Love it.
Right. So,
as a kid, it was footy and cricket with a bit of tennis thrown in.
Yep.
Yeah, fortunate enough to be okay at both. And then, then when I sort of finished footy at 23, I picked up the golf clubs and got into golf. So, so that's how that came about.
Right. So, at Alexander Thompson, you're in the team of the 50 years, is that right?
Team of the half century, yeah.
And you're a club champion at Kerr Lewis?
Yes, and I've won a few local open events as well around the place.
How good did the handicap get at your best?
Oh, I got down to one, but the handicap system was a lot different back then. So I don't know how it works these days, but there seems to be a lot more guys low handicap these days than there was back then.
Favourite food?
Anything. Can't you tell? I just find my steak.
Good answer.
Favourite drink?
Well, I don't drink alcohol. So I'll have to say lemonade.
Yep. Have you got a favourite singer or band?
Foo Fighters.
Oh, good. Nice. Did you see them when they were here?
Yes, I did, mate. I got drenched, but I loved it.
I ask this every week and get told not to. Do you have a favourite author?
No, Tom, I don't. I read anything, it'll be sports books. I read Trent Cotchin's book on the way over to Europe with Adele, so that wasn't bad.
That would have put you to sleep.
Oh, stop it.
It was a long flight.
Have you got a favourite TV show?
Just anything sport-related, mate. It's always on Foxtel at my place.
Favourite movie?
Blues Brothers.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Have you got a favourite actor or actress?
No, not really.
All right. Favourite holiday spot?
I probably should say Europe, seeing as I just went there.
Yep. Biggest influence? Go on.
Sorry, no. It was our first time over there. We sort of spent some time in France and Italy, and it was pretty good.
Biggest influence on your career?
Just life in general would be mum and dad, but as far as footy and things like that go, I had a great rapport with Pete Radney when he was coaching footy at Grosvale.
Good man.
So I learned a lot from Pete and how he went about it and how he approached things. So, we still sort of chat every now and then to this day. So, yeah, he was there. He's a great man, Pete.
Most admired sports person?
That's a tough one. Nothing springs to mind, probably because I'm trying to think of all different sports.
Fair enough.
I'm not sure, to be honest. So nothing, no one sort of stands out for me.
What's your coaching pre-game routine?
Very relaxed, if you talk to the players. I'm not a ranter and a raver, and we just sort of go through what we need to do, and it's pretty relaxed. I like to give the players their own time and space as well, because everyone prepares a bit differently. So, we'll have our general team meeting as the resis go out, and then outside of that, we go through the four or five things that we want to focus on, and then we play the game and we adjust from there.
Biggest sporting thrill?
I did managed to win a few cricket premierships and a junior footy premiership. And that's always obviously really pleasing to do that, because my best mates are still guys that I played junior cricket with and things like that, and junior footy with. So those friendships that you make along the way, that certainly when you have some success, it's even better.
Biggest sporting disappointment?
Probably the losing grand final to South Bowen when I was involved at Grosvenor when GT was coach.
Yep.
I thought we were a big show that day, actually, and unfortunately they were just too good for us on the day.
And last one, if you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
I haven't thought about this. You put me on the spot. Probably just my three best mates. I just love having people I know around, so that's probably a pretty lame sort of answer. But and three best mates. That'd be tough to narrow it down to three. But I'll be happy to sit around a fire and talk a bit of nonsense with a few mates. That'd do me.
Yep, sounds pretty good. Foss, always a pleasure to catch up with you in any forum, and great to have you on Beyond the Boundary for the first time. Good luck with the off-roads. We'll be following that closely, but also a big one against Thompson on Saturday as you look to stay in touch with the top five. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks for joining us.
No worries at all, guys. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, last week, Jace, we talked about Luke Hillier joining Geelong Amateur, and you hinted that maybe that they weren't done ammos before the June 30 clearance deadline in adding a bit of talent.
Yes, a little bit of talent, a little bit of a one-pointer. We like those at clubs. Come back.
Very, very handy. Mm. And he's been good enough to join us on the line. We do speak of Oscar Brownless, who made his return to Geelong Amateur last week, straight into the ones, win over Port Arlington, and his reward is a spot on Beyond the Boundary with us. Osc, how are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you, guys. Thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah, talk to us how it's come about that you've found yourself back at KFC Oval.
It's been a bit of a funny journey. Obviously, I grew up playing my juniors footy at Amos and loved the club, played there. I think JR, one of the guys down there, was telling me I first played my first game there in 2007. So I was a little seven-year-old running around, and I absolutely loved it. And yeah, been speaking to Coach Dan there this year, working out when I could get back in to play a game, and worked out on the weekend, and it was good to get back and, more importantly, get a win with the boys.
Now, for you, that was your first competitive game in over 2 years. Obviously, the Cats let you go at the end of 21. You headed over to the Sandful and did a knee, but haven't played since.
Yeah, exactly. So I was pretty raw coming in. Been over 2.5 years, and I'd been off travelling and having a bit of other fun, but I've also been doing a bit of coaching this year, so that was sort of a slow introduction back into footy. I didn't feel too bad out there, but yeah, I've been sore since in the following days.
Now, a whisper is that the coaching is at Xavier. How the hell did you get to Xavier? Like, come on, as an APS boy from Geelong, come on, Xavier.
What are you doing? Familiar territory. It was pretty foreign pulling on the black and red.
I bet it was the
college boys actually came up last month and had a win at Xavier, which they think they've done for a while. And although I wasn't happy with our performance, I couldn't help but smile as the college boys got over the line.
You always remember where you went to school, Oscar. You know that, so that's good. Well done.
Exactly,
good work.
Exactly.
So how many games do you hope to play, Oscar? Obviously, APS is in its winter break for the moment, so you'll get a couple of games in before that returns. And then is the expectation that you'll come back just on finals and be part of AMO's campaign to hopefully win a flag?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the plan from here. So obviously, playing my first one on the weekend. We've got Torquay this weekend, which I'll be able to play. And then there's the league bye, which would have been perfect to play another one. But I'll be able to play one more before APS heads back. I think that's against Bowen Heads. And then towards the back end of the season, home and away season, I'll get another one in. And then, prepare for hopefully a pretty lengthy finals campaign.
Yep. What was it like running out? I've seen some photos. I think the great Trevor Shell is still the man down there snapping away for the pegs. But, you know, Doctor, just see the smile on your face as you ran out, as you say, gee, I'm just glad to be back playing.
Yeah, mate, it was fantastic. As you said, Trev was down there. So many familiar faces, which really made it an easy transition. I know quite a few of the boys who were playing there, some that I played junior with, And then there's some older blokes who have been around the club since probably the dawn of time, but certainly since I was there as a junior. So it was great fun. It was exactly what I was after, and I actually forgot just how much fun it is to be playing footy. And there's no real feeling that compares to winning a game when you're in the rooms afterwards, you have a beer with everyone. It's pretty hard to beat that, so it was a nice reminder.
More importantly, how did you feel on Sunday morning after you woke up and after your first competitive game of footy in a while?
Oh, gee, I was sore. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that part as well, and that's one that I didn't miss as much. The hammies hadn't seen anything like that in a few years, and yeah, that was certainly hurting.
You would have played earlier, but you've been filming The Amazing Race. Now, you can't say a lot because it actually hasn't hit screens yet, but you and your famous dad, Anthony William Brownless, paired up. Firstly, how'd you go putting up with him sort of very close up for an extended period of time?
Oh, that was the main challenge. Forget about travelling all around the world and doing all these things in different languages and foreign countries. It was putting up with his nonsense all the time, and he's snoring. We had to share a room, snoring was shocking. So that was the main challenge. The other stuff was actually easy compared to that.
And how did it all come about? How was the process of getting on the show? What was the deal there?
They approached us,
yeah.
Channel 10. They were looking for a father-son duo.
Yeah.
I think one sort of in the footy side of things. So because it was a celebrity one, they tried to have people from all different walks of life. And, yeah, I got the nod with Dad, which was, it was great fun. We had a lot of fun.
And, I know you can't say too much, but, I would think, like, at this stage of your life, too, you're a bit older now, and you don't spend as much time with your old man. It would have been good to actually just spend some time with him, though, too.
Yeah, it was. It was actually a great part of it. He hasn't done much travelling. He likes to remain pretty local. He'll sneak down to Geelong or he gets up to the Noosa Surf Club, and that's about as far as he goes. So it was good for him to push his boundaries a little bit. And we did better than we expected. But having said that, our expectations were we thought he might do a hammy hopping off the plane in the first location. So the bar wasn't set very high, but we managed to do better than that.
You're having a lot of fun, absolute little drive-bys on the old man. I'm guessing this is payback for any time he's been on the radio on his shows and you've been in for the clip from him.
Oh, exactly. I don't forget those times as a kid when I'd go to school after he's just been running nude in a German park that's been put on the footy show on a Thursday night, and all the kids have watched it. So, yeah, I reckon he owes me a few.
How did the head honchos at college cope with that, going, look, we've got the Brownlesses here attending the school, but the old man's not covering himself in glory or uncovering himself in glory?
Yeah, I don't think they would have been leading with that when they were trying to recruit kids to the school.
Well, I think I had a little bit to do with your brother, Oscar Max, and I think he was the same too. He used to keep his head down because your old man used to, even after the footy show, he still used to do a few bits and pieces on radio, and Max had sort of cop a bit of a hammering here and there, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. The worst thing has been the rush hour. I think he's finally figured out the potential powers of Instagram, and he had his jokes on Instagram, which was bad enough when we had the listeners on the drive home listening to it, but now it gets paraded around on Instagram. He thinks he's some hero. It's only getting worse, really.
All right. Now, Oscar, I don't know whether you've been an avid listener of Beyond the Boundary, but we do this little player profile where we just put you in the spotlight. Are you happy to undergo the player profile for this week?
Yeah, of course. Yep. I'd love to.
Full name?
Oscar Anthony Brownless.
Oh, nice.
Date of birth and where?
16th of February 2000, and in Geelong, born and raised in Geelong.
I think our youngest guest.
Oh, I would have thought so. There we go.
At 24.
Absolutely. Whereabouts were you born? Were you born at Geelong Hospital or St John of God, or where were you?
St John of God, I reckon.
Yes. All right. Well, we should have been keeping a tally.
We should have. King is St John of God, and I'm Geelong Hospital, so we're trying to work out who's in front. I think you might be King, actually.
Height?
187 centimetres.
Occupation?
Currently not heaps. I'm studying in Melbourne. I'm doing a business course and doing a bit of coaching up here, and actually on the scourer for a couple jobs. So who knows, a couple more weeks I might have something in the pipeline.
Good. Did you do all of your schooling at the Geelong College, or did you do primary school elsewhere before you went to the Geelong College?
No, I was all the time at the Geelong College, yes. I reckon Dad probably would have loved it if I went somewhere else for a while. Not to cop the full whack the whole time, but yeah, I stayed at college.
Right. Car? What do you drive?
Subaru Forester. Right. Subaru Forester called Susan. She's a dream.
Why is it called Susan?
I saw it when I in the yard, and it just came to me. Susan, Subaru. She's this beautiful sky blue, baby blue colour. And yeah, everything just points to Susan.
This is great. Have you played any sports other than footy?
I loved my cricket when I was going through in my juniors, so I'd always have cricket in the summertime, then footy in the winter. But eventually I had to give up cricket. But yeah, with school, that was like a compulsory summer sport.
Yep.
So I loved that. And then I've currently got a futsal team with a few boys up here in Melbourne, and we're just starting to build as the season goes along. I'm into my futsal.
Favourite food
would have to be sushi.
Favourite drink?
If it's a Friday night, I love a nice cold stone and wood.
Right, nice. Favourite singer or band?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I'd have to go to Kings of Leon.
Okay. Do you read at all? And if you do, do you have a favourite author?
Yep, I love my reading. I loved all of Dan Brown's books.
Nice.
So, yeah, all the Da Vinci Code and those ones I got really stuck into.
Thank you, Oscar. I buy another week of being able to ask people their favourite author. Jace doesn't like it.
Oh, no, Oscar, you're the first person who's really answered that properly. So we've interviewed about 25 people and nobody goes, oh, no, I don't read. I just read the sports pages. So it's nice to have a person who's actually got an education, which is good. So your old man paid for the right thing.
At the Geelong College.
At the Geelong College.
Yeah, at the Geelong College.
favourite TV show, Oscar?
Succession.
Favourite movie?
The Dark Knight.
Favourite actor or actress?
Oh, it's tough. Jason Bateman, I reckon. I love Bateman.
Yeah. Right. Favourite holiday spot?
Oh, gee, we went to a few on the race, but I better not say that. I went to Albania a couple of years ago.
Wow.
And loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it about Albania?
Oh, it was just beautiful, really sort of a lot of untouched areas. Eastern Europe, it's not influenced very much by the Western side. There's some beautiful mountains. I did a great hike, lakes and rivers. And probably I think I wasn't expecting much of it, to be honest, and it blew me away. Mm.
Biggest influence on your career?
Oh, I reckon probably Danny O'Keefe. Doc was my coach at Falcons. Yeah, when I was coming through 18, and that was probably really my transformative years, and when I started to learn the most, I guess, and he was crucial for my development, and still probably the best coach I've ever had to this day.
Most admired sports person?
Got to be Joel.
I thought you'd go there.
grew up watching him, and then to have the opportunity to train alongside him, go to work alongside him every day, it was pretty special.
Do you have a pre-game routine, Oscar?
No, I don't actually. I'm not superstitious or anything. I just like to get there and talk to the lads, and that usually calms my nerves. But no, nothing too unique.
Biggest footy thrill?
Winning the grand final, the TAC Cup grand final. Yep. 18, poor Joel Marty missed the goal after the siren.
That's right.
That was pretty special because they had a pretty handy side, Sandringham, and yeah, we did well.
Biggest footy disappointment?
Probably getting delisted by the Cats, I think. Although I loved my time there and look back on it with really positive memories. It was still disappointing. So yeah, probably that.
All right. If you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
Oh, this is tough. Who would I have? I'd have to have... I love LeBron James.
Yep.
I like what he's about. I'd have to have him in there. This is really tough. I don't know. What are some other people said? Give me some ideas.
They're varied from sports people to...
MJ always gets a run. Michael Jordan always gets a run. You're a bit younger for him, though.
MJ's and then I'd love to see maybe Prince.
Oh, yeah, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a good one. I like.
Side, a bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oscar, before we let you go, Jace wants to fire one last one.
I just want to get you a little one because you mentioned about Dan O'Keefe in there. Doc, was it the rumour true that you might have got a phone call earlier in the season to go and play at the great Warrnambool Blues?
No, that wasn't true. Okay. As much as I would love to be playing under Doc again, there's no call that came through.
Righto, fair enough.
Oscar, great to catch up with you. Great to have you back playing in a Pegs jumper again. I reckon the people down at KFC Oval are absolutely rapt to see the Brownless name pulling on that jumper. Good start win over Port Arlington. Some big ones to come, and then see you running into the final series a little bit later in the year. Appreciate you taking the time to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's a pleasure.
GFNL now, and a man that, well, if you were to go to the dictionary, Jason Doherty, and look at the word luckless, Will Sexton's photo would probably be next to that word. Mm. He had a career that was going all the right directions, outstanding Geelong VFL season before COVID, where, of course, he finished top five in their best and fairest, and the world was at his feet. But injuries, unfortunately, have just cut him down in his prime. But he is back playing footy. He missed on the weekend due to illness, but he's back playing consistent senior footy, which we love to see, and he's been good enough to join us on Beyond the Boundary. Secco, Kingy and Jace talking to you. Where do we find you on a Wednesday afternoon?
Just sitting in the physio room, funnily enough, out of my work at the moment. Looking out over the kids in the gym.
Very good. Not getting tended to, eh? Please tell us that there's other than just a little bit of illness last week, you're okay.
Yes, no ailments at the moment, which is good.
You managed to string six consecutive games together and then you get crook and does it go through your head, go, oh, not again, I'm just starting to get some continuity in my football?
It was nice. People were commenting every week that I rocked up that it was another one in a row. Which is always a good laugh. But now I've got COVID for the first time, so I can't do too much about that, unfortunately.
So 4 years of COVID, or four and a half nearly, and you've actually managed to dodge it.
Yeah, it's probably the only thing I've managed to dodge in the last 6 years. So it's a positive on that front.
Where do you think you got the COVID from at this time? You know, it's not going around as prevalent as it was before. You never know, do you, I suppose?
When you work with 200 kids every day, you're pretty likely to get it, I think.
Where are we working? What are we doing?
So I work out at Western Heights Secondary College in the AFL program.
Yes, very good.
Brendan McCartney is the head coach. Matthew Scarlett out here as well. So I head up to all the S&C for the kids.
Nice. Very good. And, speaking of, you know, world-famous names from Ocean Grove, you spoke about McCartney. How is the world-famous Neil? How does he go as a coach? Talk us through your perceptions of what he's been able to do at South Barwon.
I think he's obviously been really good for the group. I probably didn't make too good of a first impression last year where I played top three games and he probably thought I was no good. I think as a group, we've probably come in at a good time. Like, I think Faz did a good job at bringing the club together. It's probably the best, from like a mateship point of view, that I've seen since we used to be pretty decent back when I was a kid growing up. And then Neil used to come in, I think, sort of lifted the intensity of training a bit. I think the way that we started training last year put us in good stead for a couple of important games that we had to play later in the year, particularly in the finals, blokes stepping up and playing some pretty big roles in some games against some clubs that have been sort of around the mark for a long time. Certainly I don't think he would have rocked up expecting for us to make the grand final off not making finals for 5 or 6 years. But I think his voice he's had is pretty good. He's pretty measured. I've heard some feedback he's calmed down a lot since his previous coaching days. But I think he's been really good for the group.
Tell us about last year out at St Albans, Secco. You're getting yourself back into the senior team mid-season and you find yourself taking on a goalpost. What happened there?
Yeah. Australia. I was thinking about this. I obviously knew you would ask about this, given you're a heelers man. But now I think it was that thing working is why I was a bit frustrated. So yeah, here with just work and a few other things, and yeah, not looking the way I played the wrong way, but expecting that I should be a bit better than what I should have been given. How much credit? So yeah, I got a bit frustrated. And when we were 10 goals up, and we won by 150, so that worked very well.
Back this year, what were you hoping to get out of this season? Was it a case of that you with a pre-season behind you, you could actually, you know, get back to the footy you were playing pre all the injury issues you had?
That's a good question. I probably wasn't on the fence, but I wasn't probably jumping out of my skin to play footy this year. Like I sort of broke my ankle at the end of last year against Colac in the twos, and that sort of carried on a bit longer than what I would have liked. So I didn't really start training until probably January. And yeah, had, I don't know, probably ongoing knee issues for a year and a half, which sort of slowed me down a bit. But the girlfriend actually sat me down on the couch one night and gave me a bit of a rocket. Yeah, proved out pretty well. But no, I've just gone in with a bit of an open approach to just try and get back to enjoying footy and sort of stringing some games together, which I did. So I played sort of a half in each of the two practice matches and felt I was going pretty well. I thought I played well. And yeah, all I was doing was just trying to play a role and put some pressure on and see what happens. And yeah, that's pretty much what I'm looking to do every week.
Can you just take us inside what the rocket involved? What sort of was the tone that the better half delivered it to you?
Yeah, well, she apologised after, but it was needed. It was more just around if I was going to play, to actually pull my finger out and do it properly instead of sort of picking and choosing a bit like I might have done the year before.
That's impressive. I like that. Yeah. It's all right.
A bit of coach material for it.
Now, talk about your strength and conditioning. You've been at the Falcons, you've been at Western Heights, you were at the VIS for a while too, I think, were you?
Yeah, I did an internship up there with the swimmers.
Yeah, right.
It was good fun. So, funnily enough, I actually don't like swimming. good experience for me. And, yeah, work with Geelong Swimming Club as well now through my work. So, it's been good. I did exercise science at uni work in the gym for a little bit just in Newtown. And then, work out at school now, which is good fun with the kids. And then me and another bloke I work with run our own sort of S&C business, working with clubs and rehabbers and stuff during the week.
Yeah, nice.
So, Will, when we do this Beyond the Boundary podcast, we do this little thing called the little player profile. Now, have you heard the podcast at all?
I'd like to say that I had, just to make you feel good, but I haven't, unfortunately.
No, honesty we like.
No, that's good. Honesty is the best policy. But if you don't start listening, you're not coming back. So you better start listening.
All right.
No worries.
Here we go. Full name.
Yep. William Jack Sexton.
Date of birth and where?
14th of the 5th, 1997. Geelong Hospital, I'd assume.
Yes. Well done.
Height.
Not very tall, 175.
5'9 in the old. Were you recruited to South Barwon from anywhere or have always played juniors at South?
I've always been there, did Auskick, played juniors, now senior footy.
Occupation?
What would you say? S&C coach, I suppose.
Yep. What schools did you attend?
I went to Ballair Primary School and then Belmont High School.
That is a very typical South Barwon education right there. The little triangle between Bel Air, McDonald Reserve and Belmont High, right?
Pretty much.
What car do you drive, Secco?
Just a Holden wagon.
All right. Do you have a name for it? Because we just found out that Oscar Brownless has a Subaru named Susan.
No, I don't. I don't have a name for my car, no.
Have you played any sports other than footy?
I did little athletics for a year.
Right.
And then that was about it. Mum wanted me to do nippers, but I didn't have much interest in that.
Yeah, you don't like swimming, so
no, that's good.
That was a no for me.
Have you got a favourite food, Secco?
Got a soft spot for some tacos, I think. I'll have to put that up there.
All right. Drink, if you were reaching for a cold one on a warm day?
Yeah, don't drink too much. Probably like a Northern Corona or something.
Yep. Have you got a favourite singer or band?
I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right. Do you read? And if you do, do you have a favourite author?
No, I only read when I go on holidays, which is not often. Something business related.
Okay. Have you got a favourite TV show?
Oh, that's a good question. Suits would be up there.
Yeah, Suits is gone. Mm-hmm. We all want to be Harvey Specter.
yeah, that'd be all right.
Favourite movie?
I like the Bourne series, Jason Bourne.
Yeah, good, good. Does that make Matt Damon your favourite actor?
Yeah, it'd be up there. I do like Adam Sandler movies, though, so I'd put him up there as well.
Yeah, nice. When you just wanted something where you don't have to think too much, Adam Sandler.
Incorrect.
Favourite holiday spot?
New Zealand would be up there.
Biggest influence on your career?
Probably me dad.
Most admired sports person?
Oh, controversial one, this one. Lance Armstrong.
Right. Wow. Have you read the book? It's Not About the Bike?
No, I haven't read the book. I've watched all of his, probably not all, but watched a lot of his docos.
Yeah, okay.
Considering they're all doing it, he's the best.
Right.
That's my thought.
Pre-game routine?
Don't have one, really.
Yep.
Just wake up, go to work for 4 hours, and then rock up and play.
Right. Biggest thrill, footy-wise?
Probably first VFL game.
Yep. What was your biggest? What's been your biggest footy disappointment? Or is it just as simple as being injured?
Yeah, the last 7 years.
Right. And if you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
Good question. Three people in history. We'll go. Barack Obama.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good.
Michael Jordan.
Gets a run. Always.
And one other one. Maybe Bill Gates.
Yeah, interesting trio.
That's a good one. Yeah, well played. Yeah, well done.
All right. So back this week, Secco, you'll be right to play on Saturday?
Yep. Yeah, should be good to go against West.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
All right, another 4 points that hopefully you can bank. Appreciate your time. It's great to see you back playing footy. Obviously, we missed you on the weekend as we did South Barwon and Leopold, but hopefully a handy in this week against the Giants and a chance to string some more footy together. Thanks for taking the time to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
Three very interesting guests, as always.
Yeah, we get eclectic on this on this podcast. It's good.
Look, we could easily just go and get coaches and senior.
No, but you want to find out the real people that play footy and
do what they do in their lives.
In their real life,
Who would have thought Oscar Brownless drive to Subaru Forester named Susan?
That's just going to get a run. Don't worry about that.
It's as good as Misha Barton.
Do you reckon that's Daily Mail stuff, that is? I mean, we're into week three of the Daily Mail, so, you know, we're probably... We're newsbreakers here. Newsbreakers.
Right. Let's have a look. Do you want to do our tips for this week?
Oh, yes.
Self-congratulation continues. Yes. We probably need to.
We're booming here. Don't worry about that.
Big game. It's actually, there are two cracking games this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
First one is at Australian Lamb Company Stadium.
It is.
Between Colac and St. Joseph's.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game, isn't it? I mean, so Joey's in pretty good form. Colac at home, always tough to beat. I think Joey's just.
I can't go. They weren't great on Sunday.
No.
But Colac are coming off a result you can't read a lot into.
No.
Let's just go with the unbeaten team.
Right. Good.
Joey's both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Can West beat South Barwon or does South get them?
South gets them.
Who back? Sexton back.
I don't know whether anybody else will be beaten until after the break, so yeah.
South, but not by much.
No.
Although West need to be a bit more attacking.
Need to kick a goal
or two. Just to remind you of the comment that Luke Webb made to us.
Yes.
Jay shelled out the box and said, oh, Luke Webb's coming to say hi to us as he came onto the bike track. And then Luke Webb's gone, it feels like we're playing St Kilda.
Yes, he did say that, right next to the Geelong West coaching box too. So, yes.
Will Leopold be too strong for a Newtown team that will be absolutely shattered with their performance last
week? I would think so. Yeah. They were pretty good, Leopold, last week.
North Shore and Grovedale. Did Grovedale double up?
Well, you'd think so. Two in a row.
Out at Windsor Park.
Well, it's going to be tough out there, but, you know, if Mitch Schaefer's playing and they've got a couple back, Ryan Abbott was back and a couple of others, they might make it two in a row, I think, the Tigers.
Yep, Grovedale. Under-18 Premiership 1984. Actually, it was Under-18 Championship 1984 out there at North Shore.
Right.
That was the one Darren Winter was captain of.
Right. 40 years ago.
Yep.
Wow.
And he'll be back coaching after his little European sojourn.
He's back.
Yeah,
he's
Dale
back.
Purcell was in that team.
Right, yep.
Who else was in that? Gavin Orr was in that team.
God, 1984.
Yep.
Jeez.
So these blokes are all 57, 58.
They are.
Which is a bit frightening. Mm. And so we're tipping Grovedale. And final game of the round, because St Albans and Lara is being played on the 6th of July.
Yep.
St Mary's and Bell Park, carrollfootball.live from 1 o'clock. Mm. Second versus third.
Cracker of a game.
Well, we hope.
As Kirsch says, too much green between the two of them.
Well,
I'll work that out.
One will be in there predominantly dark.
St Mary's. Samaris.
One in the white. St Mary's at home.
Yes.
But I'd like to see Bell Park. I know they've beaten Leopold.
Got to make a statement.
But, yeah, they've beaten Colac.
Yep.
27-point loss to South Barwon. Well beaten by Joey's. Beat Leopold. This is where we've got to find out a little bit more.
Yep.
Especially as we get into this part of the season. Mm. Ballerine, we are... God, it's round 13.
I know. I was just looking at that.
And we've got a Battle of the Bridge. Yes. Talking about reunions, I think the 74 boys from Barwon Heads that completed a hat-trick are getting together.
Okay.
They beat Ocean Grove, I think, in that grand final in 74. So they are getting together as a cohort. That's Chooker Peace and Dennis Johnson and Gordon Watson and guys like that were in that premiership.
Yep.
Very talented team. And they will be too good for the Grubbers.
They will be. Correct.
Drysdale and Newcombe. Newcombe only lost by 8 points, I think, last time they met. Drysdale are going like bastards.
Yes, they are. At home, though, should just win.
Newcombe had a good recent record against Drysdale in terms of keeping them honest.
Are you picking Newcombe then?
No. Drysdale. No. Motawarri will beat Port Arlington out at Motta.
Yep.
Queenscliff and Anglesey. This is a tricky one for Anglesey.
It is at the Kuta, isn't it? At the Kuta Bowl. Yes. They did the old, you know, defend the Kuta Bowl last week, the old Kutas. I think Anglesey.
Yep.
Too strong.
Anglesey for me. And Torquay and Geelong Amateur. Oscar gets a real taste now of Ballerine footy. No disrespect to Port Arlington, but this is going to be one where Amos find out if they're any chance of challenging.
Well, yeah. This is it. If Amos want to be right there, and if Torquay lose the championship, it'll be this week.
All right. GDFL, we are at round 12, so two-thirds of the way through the season before a split round to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Winchelsea and Thompson. Winch at home, are they a chance?
No.
Thompson. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Bannockburn at home taking on Anarchy.
Yeah, Bannockburn.
No, what if Luke Dullhouse will be back? He missed last week.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, no, it doesn't matter, I don't think.
I don't think Bell Post Hill are beating East Geelong this time.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
This will be 11 straight.
I can't do the double.
Will Belmont Lions kill off Inverleigh's finals hopes?
They certainly will. Yes, they'll bounce back.
I'm tipping Inverleigh.
Okay. You are just... You're just hanging on, aren't you?
I wonder if Andy Wall's got his back. Because Andy didn't play last week because he was on a school tour to Indonesia.
He was.
He wanted that kept quiet.
Yeah.
Not now.
Not now. Bad luck.
Werribee Centrals and Corio met in an absolute cracker earlier in the year. Guess what?
It won't be this week.
Nah, Werribee.
Yep.
They'll be shattered last week too. They 50th anniversary day.
Yeah.
Lead by, what, 6 goals?
Yeah.
And let it slip. Unfortunately. Yeah. North Geelong and Geelong West. West last week, bit stiff not to tip over Bannockburn.
Yeah, they were good, weren't they? But I think at home, North Geelong.
Yep, North Geelong
yep.
as well. Carrollfootball.live, you and Buzz with Kirsch and Birchie.
Yes, yeah, the Buzzard coming back.
From 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon for St Mary's and Bell Park. Anything to leave us with, Jace?
I suspect we might be hearing more of Oscar Brownless on this podcast. I'm just getting a feeling.
Yeah, he was good.
He was very good.
He was very good. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does
no.
it?
No.
See you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.